Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less crypto and DeFi update. I'm Amy here with Pat, and today is Tuesday, October 6th. 2020.
Bitcoin's down about 2% to 10,575, and Ethereum has taken a beating, down 5% to 336. This is one of the lows for the last 6 months, I believe.
Thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does DeFi investment monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. All right. First, Binance's composite DeFi index has fallen by over 50% in just 1 month since its launch.
Yeah, this is Binance's sort of index fund tracking a few different crypto governance tokens, a couple of, holding tokens, things like that. DeFi has been taking a beat in the last few days. I think there's been a lot of scams. There's been a lot of general anxiety about the world at large, which I would actually, is funny because I would kind of think that it would be, everything going on in the U.S. markets, everything going on in the U.S. politics, and everything, you would kind of think would be good for crypto, but hasn't really shaken out that way. I mean, Ethereum is down one of its lowest points in several months, which to me is crazy. I mean, like if I was, very rationally analyzing these markets and I was contemplating how much money had been printed and this idea of, politicians fighting over stimulus checks and all of this, I would sure want to have a solid foundation for digital currency in this world. But it's, we've talked a lot about how the, digital assets are the tip of the spear for a lot of people's portfolios. So when they are feeling unwell about things, they are going to be dumping digital assets. That's what we're seeing here. So, and I think DeFi just in general is in a little bit of a funk as it's trying to find itself, maybe edging towards the trough of disillusionment.
All right. Well, all stocks could become tokenized. That's according to SEC Chairman Clayton.
Yeah, no, duh. That's what we've all been saying, dude. And this is like super obvious and incredibly dumb thing to say. I think that this is like little bone thrown to the digital asset people in the world. But because I don't actually really think he said his quote was that the SEC's door is wide open to show someone how they could tokenize the ETF product in a way that adds efficiency. Dude, any tokenization of these things adds efficiency. Like getting rid of central market makers for this is going to add efficiency no matter what. Opening 24 hours a day, opening markets 24 hours a day adds efficiency. Like these are all super easy ways to add efficiency. So making it peer-to-peer and cutting out like hardcore middlemen adds efficiency. So I don't know. It's kind of a weird thing to say. It's a little bit of wishful thinking from his part. But hey, you know what? If they're talking about it, that means that you're kind of winning.
Okay, well, sticking with institutional news, some of the largest asset managers are diversifying their funds with blockchain stocks.
Yeah, this is crazy. So there's sort of, it was Fidelity and Vanguard putting some money from a few of their less well-known or mutual funds into several blockchain companies. Now, what's super interesting to me about this was the companies that they were choosing to invest in. So first of all, there's not that many public blockchain companies, and most of these funds require you to be public in order for them to buy stock in it in a kind of non-shady sort of way. So I think that had a big part of it. But the companies were Riot, Hive Blockchain Tech, Hut 8, and the BC Group. Riot, Hive, and Hut 8 are all crypto miners or somehow involved in crypto mining. And then BC Group is a custody solution with a trading desk and a few other pieces there. I might be missing a couple of things that they're doing, but it was kind of like the focus here was institutional pieces and custody and then mining. And I wouldn't have expected mining to be one of the big parts here, but I guess those are some of the, like, there's been a few really interesting, IPOs. It's not, you don't call it an IPO. It's when you reverse merge into a public company as a private company. A few of the blockchain companies have done that. So they actually got listed. A few of the mining companies have done that to get listed. They have pretty good economics. Like they're basically energy producing companies or they are the opposite Office of Energy Producing Companies, but their economics are all based off the same principles. So I guess it's, you know, you can kind of have a well understood economic model. But I was pretty surprised that they were saying that these are the types of companies they're investing in. But it's really exciting. I mean, it shows that everyone, this is, you know, we were talking just earlier in this podcast about why the markets are not more decorrelated from exchanges, from why the U.S. markets are not more decorrelated from crypto markets. And this is one of those things that actually moves the needle. So when you actually have people starting to invest in crypto assets as a hedge, you know, right now there's a lot of insecurity, uncertainty about the world. People are putting this money in this because they see it as a hedge. The more people you have putting money in as a hedge, the less volatility you will have on crypto assets in general and on stocks like this in particular. So the more people that believe an asset is a hedge, in fact, the more the asset will end up being a hedge because the less people will dump it in times of uncertainty. So this to me is a really, really, really good sign, really, really exciting. Will be fun to watch. Like, that's to me is really excited.
Yeah, and that was Charles Schwab joining Fidelity and Vanguard.
No.
All right. So DeFi pushes MetaMask to break 1 million monthly users.
Yeah, I think this is an interesting story. I don't know if there's much to say here. The interesting metrics for usage of DeFi. Are the contract usage numbers. We report on those every couple of weeks. I think they're still hovering relatively close to whatever. Let's say, you know, magnitude doesn't matter here, but something like 15 to 20 to less than 100,000 people per month that are kind of interacting with contracts. You know, that to me is a more interesting metric. This metric strikes me as kind of a vanity metric of who has the MetaMask util installed and clicks on it once a month or goes to a crypto website once a month. So I don't really put a lot of stock in this. I think the metric that's really interesting or the one that we want to follow is continues to be the actual contract interaction metrics.
Okay. All right. Next, going over to France, there's a city in France that uses the Tezos blockchain for voting on local projects.
Yeah, this is such a great story. We'll tweet it out. So definitely go and read it. I'm a firm non-believer in crypto, in blockchain for voting. So this is, you know, voting is really, really tough. The issue with voting does not tend to be the cryptographic security of the underlying smart contracts that people are voting into. The issue with voting tends to be suppression. It tends to be votes being lost. Like there's all these issues, and then usability, especially when you get into e-voting, which is what we're talking about here, electronic voting, usability is a huge one. This project, Tezos has, it had some engineers that were based out of France. So I think that there was sort of a local connection there that they wanted to bring along. This was a very long project. This is like a project that had been in the works for upwards of 60 years.
That's what it's
like. I mean, it was just like this crazy long project to add some roads between a couple of hamlets in France. You know, the only way I could look at this is like, I don't want to be the dude doing tech support for a bunch of French grannies who are trying to figure out how to use their cell phone to vote for whether or not to get a bond measure passed to add a road between two hamlets in France. It's just like, this is not the main problem here is not the blockchain side. This is, again, like, this is kind of a fluffy piece. It's exciting, but voting should be on paper ballots that have hard paper trails with an incredible amount of security baked into it. You know, you can as easily manipulate. It's the problem is like the places that you do manipulation on voting do not tend to be problems that are solved by blockchain voting. Now, there are some really nice parts about being able to go and validate your vote after the fact. But the problem is, like, you could do that with our current voting systems anyways. Like, that there's sort of this whole thing is like, why can't everyone go and validate all of their votes anyways? You don't need blockchain for that. That's totally irrelevant. Any technology system in the world, like, give an engineer a weekend and they could build a system where it will count the vote, add them all up, and give you a code that you can then go and check that your vote was added correctly. So the issue here is not one that I think is particularly well solved by blockchain, but it's still fun to see people pushing the envelope on it.
All right. And quickly, last, Pat, it's your favorite thing, wild Bitcoin predictions. So Adam Back believes that Bitcoin will boost its market cap by 400% in less than 2 years, hitting a $1 trillion.
That's right. And let's just be very clear that a $1 trillion market cap is about $55,000 a coin. So even though he didn't say it, this is in fact a wild prediction. 2 years, Adam Beck saying that we're going to have a $55,000 Bitcoin. I think that that's spectacular. Let's do it. Adam Beck obviously has a very, very motive, is obviously motivated. He's the CEO of Blockstream, which is one of the main developers for Bitcoin. He himself is one of the early developers. So he holds a ton of Bitcoin. So he has a vested interest in saying things like this. He did not really show his work particularly well on this. I didn't think that there was like, I didn't think there was a ton of like depth to this analysis more than anything else. I think, you know, where all this comes down is that magnitudally, or where a lot of these predictions come, is that gold itself is estimated to be somewhere around $6 trillion in terms of like quote unquote market cap. So people think that Bitcoin can grab a substantial amount of gold's market cap. So I think that that's where these numbers really come from. If you ever want to like dig into why people make predictions around this and where these numbers are based off of, it has to do with like gold and the overall value there. So awesome. Let's get it there. Everyone go out and buy lots of Bitcoins. It goes up to 55,000. But yeah, I love it.
All right. That'll do it for today. Thank you as always for listening.
All right. Have a good one.